Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Fans, how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Wednesday, January the 9th, and we got a great show for you today. Later on in the podcast, I will be joined by Miami Dolphins reporter for USA Today, Antoine Staley, as we pick his brain and get his thoughts on all things Miami Dolphins and with the Miami Dolphins head coaching search that is ongoing. But that's later on in the podcast. Before I get to that, let's go over some news. There really isn't much news happening in the moment right now. The Miami Dolphins, look, their head coaching search, it appears, is down to three people. It's down to Brian Flores, it's down to Chris Richard, and Darren Rizzi. One of those three will be the Miami Dolphins head coach. In the cases of Flores and Richard, look, this might go a while, folks, because the Miami Dolphins can't hire one of them until their team is eliminated from the playoffs. So as long as the Patriots keep winning and as long as the Cowboys keep winning, this might drag out into February. It very well could. Now, I think with both of those teams, I do think they're in trouble this weekend. I think with the Cowboys, they could beat the Saints, but it's going to be an uphill battle, to say the least, to win in New Orleans in the playoffs. I think that's a tough one. So I think Richard, you know, I think the Cowboys season will probably come to an end this weekend. Excuse me. And I think in the case of Flores, the Patriots are vulnerable. This is not the same Patriots team in years past. This team, I think, is vulnerable, and I think the Chargers are for real. They're a team that can bring the pressure, and they're a team on offense that can sort of spread the Patriots out and give them fits. Now, I do worry about Rivers in a big game because in big games in his history, you know, he's a tendency to come up short. Now, last week against the Ravens was a big game, but the Ravens were just inept on offense and sort of handed the Chargers that game. But I do think each of those teams are vulnerable this weekend. So if Richard and Flores are free after this upcoming weekend, that would obviously help the Miami Dolphins move along with their search. But we don't know because, look, they're still the Patriots, and they could very well make a run here to the Super Bowl. They have the talent to do so. And the Cowboys, they're playing pretty good. They're playing pretty good. I think their road's obviously much tougher, but it's not out of the realm. They did beat the Saints once this year. Granted, it was in Dallas, but we'll see. Other than that, you know, it does seem like they're the three candidates. I think when it comes to Dennis Allen, that's a far-fetched long shot. I think that's a real long shot. But unless the Miami Dolphins have a name out there that they're keeping under wraps or they're pulling their cards so close to the vest that they just sort of haven't let out that they want to meet with someone, it just seems clear it's going to be either Brian Flores, Chris Richard, or Darren Rizzi. So we'll keep an eye on that. Before I get to Antoine, there's one thing that's sort of, you know, really starting to annoy me a little. And it's sort of like the national media narrative on the Dolphins. And every now and then, you know, when it comes to the media who cover the Dolphins, I always say this. The South Florida media really is the best. You have three big newspapers down there in the Miami Herald, Sun Sentinel, and the Palm Beach Post who all have a great team of reporters who do amazing work. All three newspapers do amazing work, and those are legitimate sources to get good news, good opinions, fair opinions, not through like the rose-colored glasses when it comes to the team. They're more than fair. They're critical when they need to be. They heap on the praise when it should be heaped on. And those are three good sources. The national media, you know, and there's some people in the national media I respect very much. But there's some, and I do use the term national media loosely, and I will give an example shortly, who, when they talk about the Dolphins, you know, they really don't know their ass from their elbow. And that's just saying it nicely. And there was on a social media on Tuesday night, one of the national media reporters, and I say national media only because he works for Roto World, but he's really a fantasy football reporter for Roto World. And I guess when you work for Roto World, I guess you're considered national media just because the size of that company these days. But really, Evan Silva doesn't know, you know, anything about football. He really doesn't know anything about football. And every time he tries to talk about real football, and I mean real football, not fancy football. Every time he tries to talk about real football, you know, he comes off like a clown. And, you know, he was ripping the Dolphins, saying their fan base is dumb, they don't get it, and this, that, and the other. And then one person responds to him who's a fan of the Dolphins. I guess that person, by de facto, represents every Miami Dolphins fan on the planet Earth. And, you know, he comes off just like an idiot, just like an arrogant jerk, because that's what he is. And, you know, let me say this. You know, he goes on social media and says that the Miami Dolphins, you know, they're a terrible job nobody wants. Which, paraphrasing, but they're a job nobody wants. They have no high-end player, or they have few high-end players on their roster. He says this stuff like he's breaking news to Miami Dolphins fans. Like, oh my God, I never thought. Like, any reasonable, smart Miami Dolphins fans knows that right now the team isn't in great shape. It's not a roster filled with high-end talent. There's a couple guys. You got Laremy Tunsil, Xavier Howard, Mika Fitzpatrick, and I'll even throw in Rashad Jones. Outside of that, you know, it's a team that, you know, needs help. I mean, most level-headed, reasonable fans of the Miami Dolphins know that. And when I say that, because you have to get rid of the fringe elements. So, and when you're on social media and stuff, you know, you get a lot of the fringe elements. You get the, you know, the children who get their first iPhone or their first tablet. They're 12 years old, 10 years old, and they start a Twitter account or a Facebook account or an Instagram account. And, you know, you don't really know you're talking to a child. They pass, you know, so it's like you got that element. And then you got the other element, who I call the fanboys, the lunatic fringe who, you know, take their wedding pictures or their engagement photos in like a Miami Dolphins shirt or like a Miami Dolphins jersey. You think, these people are strange. I mean, that's not normal. So when you get rid of the fringe element, you talk about the vast majority of the Miami Dolphins fan, the longtime fan, even the newer fans who are just normal, level-headed football fans. They understand that the Miami Dolphins job isn't great. They understand it's not one of the best jobs in the league right now. Out of the 8 open jobs, now it's down to like 6 or 5. Out of all the open jobs right now this offseason, Miami was like middle of the pack towards the bottom. It's not the Browns job, that's better. Not the Jets job, that's better. Not even the Broncos job, that's better. Most reasonable fans know this. And these national media types, well, once again, hardly national media types, who like go on, oh, Miami's terrible. They got to trade Xavier Howard. This is the new one. And this is where people like Evan Silva expose themselves for being idiots. They just expose themselves for being idiots who don't know what they're talking about. So Evan Silva's on here talking about the Miami Dolphins need to trade Xavier Howard to get assets to help the team get better. And then you push back and go, well, if the team, as you said, has few high-end players and isn't any good and it's a job nobody wants, why would you trade one of the few high-end players you got, trade them away, and for a few picks? And how does that make the team better? How does that make the job more attractive? What's your end game? Well, you know, because once again, he's a fancy football guy. He knows very little about real football. In his world, draft picks are the be-all and end-all, when in reality, just because you get picks in the draft, you know, you have to hit on them. You know, ask the Cleveland Browns, who for like 5 or 6 years had 2 picks in round one, 2 picks in round two every year, and they missed on every one of them, up until recently, of course. But, you know, it's like you can have all the picks in the world. If you don't draft the right guy, who the hell cares? And when you get someone like Xavier Howard, you want to hold on to them, you want to lock them up, you want to build around them. And if you're a team that doesn't have a lot of quality players, why would you part with one of them? Unless the only sense it makes to part with someone like Xavier Howard is if it's going to land you a franchise quarterback, which, you know, it probably won't this year. So it's like, why would you trade him now? So, so people like Tevin Silva and others, it's not just him. There's some others here who I guess you would consider national media who really just don't know anything. So you got to trade Xavier Howard. You know, you got to get picks in return. That's how you rebuild. Because the Dolphins aren't any good. That's how you rebuild. So then you push back. Okay. You say, okay, so we're going to trade Xavier Howard, get a couple picks. And, you know, and maybe those picks, we picked the next Devontae Parker and Charles Harris. Now we lost Xavier Howard and we picked 2 guys who aren't any good. And then where are you? I mean, you're even in worse shape than you are now. So then, you know, it's like it makes no sense. And, you know, these people just say stuff that makes no sense. And then they come back with, well, you know, I mean, Xavier Howard's not, here's the logic. I mean, this is the logic that so. I mean, it's just so mind-boggling that they go, that the Miami Dolphins need to trade Xavien Howard to get something in return to help them rebuild. Then you shoot back with, well, no, shouldn't you hold on to him and keep him to build around him? And they go, build around him? You know, he's not that good. He's always injured. He misses games. And so then logic then tells you if he's always injured and he misses games, then what other team would want him? So first you're saying you got to trade him because he's great. Then when you say, no, you keep him, they go, why do you want to keep him? He's always hurt and never plays. Well, if he's always hurt and he never plays, why would any other team want him? Their logic makes no sense. They just talk to hear their own voice. They just, most of these people in the national media don't know anything. And, you know, I understand. Right now, the Miami Dolphins are down. And it's easy to kick a team when they're down. It really is. Pile on. The Miami Dolphins aren't a great job. They don't have a quarterback in place. On offense, outside of Laremy Tunsil, they ain't got much going on. On the other side of the ball, they got a little more going on, but nothing great. They're, you know, and they're probably going to have a young head coach with no experience. I get it. Right now, in the grand scheme of the NFL, the Miami Dolphins aren't an ideal situation. But, you know, the over-the-top rhetoric and some of this nonsense you read from people who, you know, who are on the fringe element of the business, and by the business, I mean journalists who get paid to cover the NFL, it's comical. It's actually comical. You read this stuff for comic relief. And Evan Silva, when you present him with actual facts tonight, you know, he blocked me on Twitter. Ooh, like a 12-year-old who got, you know, I mean, it's like, I'm going to block you on Twitter. Okay, block me on Twitter. Who cares? You're a nobody. I don't care. I wasn't following you to begin with. I just happened to see your conversation, which made no sense. It's like last week on this podcast, I had on Safeed Dean from the Sun Sentinel. And we had a debate whether Rizzi should be the next head coach of the Dolphins. I feel no, he shouldn't. Safeed Dean thought, you know, maybe he should, and he brought up the pros of that. We went back and forth like adults, had a conversation like adults. I presented my case, he presented his, and, you know, we like each other. He's not going to block me on Twitter because I don't see things exactly his way. I'm not going to block him. It's like that's what, you know, adults do. They have a football conversation, they present a case. It's like, would you think Peter King would block someone on social media if they didn't agree with him? Do you think Adam Schefter would block? I mean, this is the type of person you're dealing with here with Evan Silva, and that's why he's at Roto World and will never move on from Roto World to a real outlet which talks about NFL because, you know, he's not mature enough. He's a clown. But it comes back to the national media and the Dolphins. And right now, when you're sort of in that spot where Miami is and the national media doesn't, you know, aren't going to say a lot of positive things on you, say a lot of positive things about you. It's one of those situations where 90% of the time you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Where if the Miami Dolphins traded Xavien Howard, you know, the national media would be like, oh my God, here's the Miami Dolphins again. Typical Dolphins. They take someone in the draft, he gets good, they just let him walk away. They just hand him away. But if they hold on to him, then they're called dumb because, like, well, he's one of your top assets. You should trade him to help you rebuild. No matter what they do, they're going to get criticized. No matter what they do, they're going to get criticized by some. But as I always say this time of year, and we're entering that time of year, the off season here, where you're going to hear about rumors of trades, rumors of draft, and this team likes this guy, this team's going to sign this guy. Always check your sources, folks. Don't take news and don't believe news from unreliable sources. And when you hear people like the Evan Silvas of the world and others who are, you know, fringe elements of the national media say stuff, always take it with a grain of salt, because 9 times out of 10, they don't know what they're talking about, and they're probably just making it up. They're probably just making it up, because they just don't know what they're doing. As fans of the Miami Dolphins, we are very lucky. We are very, very lucky in that we have 3 very good newspapers in South Florida who cover this team with a bunch of great reporters. I can honestly say, I cannot say a bad thing about any of the reporters who cover this team, about whether the Miami Herald, the Palm Beach Post, or the Sun Sentinel. They all do amazing work. And we also got a few good radio stations down there who have on people who do fair and honest work. They criticize the team when it's needed. They put praise on the team when it's deserved. And they cover this team fair. We are very lucky as fans of this team that the local media in Miami cover this team fairly. And they give us good insight. So I always say, check your sources when you get news this time of year. There's a lot of fake news out there, folks. And I hate that term, but it's true. There's a lot of fake news out there. And then you get people who just say stuff without even thinking. Or they might just say stuff and they don't know what they're talking about. And, you know, so just wanted to sort of get that off my chest. Because the national... Oh, and something else, too, about the national media. and the narrative on the Dolphins. So when Miami fired head coach Adam Gase on December 31st, New Year's Eve, what did we read from, you know, the Evan Silvas of the world and everyone else in national media? Oh, my God. The Dolphins made a mistake, and Adam Gase is going to have all these interviews and teams knocking down his door trying to hire him. Adam Gase. He'll have a job tomorrow. He's a hot commodity. The Dolphins are clueless, blah, blah, blah. So Adam Gase met with the Packers. They didn't hire him. Adam Gase met with Arizona. They didn't hire him. He met with the Jets. He has a chance still with the Jets, but it looks like they're going to go in a somewhere else. I mean, he has a chance to be hired by the Jets, but it's not looking promising. So, you know, all these jobs Adam Gase was going to get, oh my, these teams are going to knock down his door to hire Adam Gase. Nobody's hired him. So, once again, I always say, when you see the news, look at the source, because, you know, hold people accountable. When they say something dumb, hold them accountable. And a lot of people, national media, said the Dolphins were clueless. Adam Gase is this, Adam Gase is that. He'll have a job in about 10 minutes. Nobody's hired Adam Gase. Adam Gase has met with, what, at least three teams I know of off the top of my head, maybe more, and not one of them's hired him yet. And two of them have already filled the spot with somebody else. So, again, consider the source when you get your news. When it comes to the Dolphins, like I said, three great newspapers. And, of course, Antoine Staley for USA Today does amazing work as well. And what I'm going to do right now is take a break. And when I come back from the break, we're going to talk to one of the great reporters who covered the Miami Dolphins, Antoine Staley for USA Today, and pick his brain about all things Miami Dolphins. So sit tight, and we'll be back after this.
Sinbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida and the number one place to go get authentic Miami Dolphins signed memorabilia. Sinbad Sports has had the likes of Albert Wilson, Kiko Alonso, Frank Gore, Jakeem Grant, Rashad Jones, Ricky Williams, and Cam Wake in for recent autograph signings. So when you're in South Florida, go ahead and visit Sinbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com sent you.
Joining me on the DolphinsTalk.com hotline is Antoine Staley from USA Today. Antoine, how are you doing today?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
Good. So we haven't spoken in a few weeks here with the holidays and stuff. So let's start off. Let's go back to right after the final game with head coach Adam Gase, and he was let go. Were you surprised he was let go after the final game?
No. The way they lost, especially that game against Buffalo, everybody had to know some changes were coming. Especially major changes. I thought at the Jacksonville game, I thought he was really on the hot seat there. To be honest, really Minnesota. And then you lose that game against Jacksonville at home. I know they weren't going to get into the playoffs anyway. Yeah, I just thought that was the end of the road at that point. And I was not surprised, especially off the things I were hearing. So not at all.
Yeah, after he was let go and some of the news started to leak out of some of the stuff that was going on behind the scenes, inside the locker room, it didn't come as a shock, I would say, but it's still, I mean, if you think where he started year one and how year one went and how things got worse year after year, it is kind of still surprising. Not so much surprising in the here and now that he was let go, because we know how things ended this year, but just from taking a step back, how things just sort of fell apart so quickly for him. It really is kind of shocking that he couldn't ride that year one success any longer than he did.
Well, really what it boiled down to is just the fact that, you look at year one, of course they went 10-6 and made the playoffs. And then the second year they started to have some issues even then, started out with JHI, in that situation. And of course, Jarvis Landry, and a lot of people just thought, well, you know, they're just angry that Gase shipped them out and This stuff is not really true. And then come to find out it's more and more players were saying similar things. And as it turns out, everything was true. Some players, not every player, but it was a number of players that were disgruntled, didn't like the way Adam Gase was handling things, especially he wasn't holding Ryan Tannehill accountable, but yet holding other people accountable in that locker room as well. And it's a team game, and you have to have all 53 players come together as a unit, and you can't just do that. You have to hold everybody accountable, whether it be Ryan Tannehill or the 53rd man on the roster, and that's just something that he did not do.
Yeah, it sounded like he couldn't connect with the team in a way where they responded to him, or if he even once did, it seems like he lost them. It seems like he lost the locker room.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was clear at the end when they were asking guys like Wake, who is a leader on this team, you know, should the head coach be back next year? And he wouldn't even say yes or no. I mean, by not answering the question, that is essentially saying no. So when you lose guys like Wake and such, it's not a good sign.
And here's the thing, too. You look at people were asked defensive side of the ball about Gase. And, just to be honest with you, I can't really think of anybody on that side of the ball that would vouch for him. Offensively, yes. Some players, Kenny Stills was a fan of his. Frank Gore, obviously, dating back to their days back in the day. He's known Gase for a while. But he had a few allies in that locker room. He did have some, but not a lot. Not a lot to save his job.
Yep, absolutely. And now he's gone. So they have cast sort of a wide net, I think, of with these interviews they set up. But one of the things that sort of jumped off the page, especially as of Monday, was that the older candidates are sort of out of the picture, whether it's Miami not setting up a day and time to meet with Vic Fangio, and whether that's Mike Munchak not wanting to meet with Miami, that the older guys sort of didn't even make it to the interview process. And it looks like Miami's going to be picking a head coach among a lot of younger candidates, it appears. What's your thoughts on that? And I actually think it's somewhat wise. My thought on this real quick is the next head coach, whoever it is, I don't care if he's an offensive coach. I don't care if he's a coach from the other side of the ball. It needs to be someone, clearly, who can stand up in front of this team and lead men, because that's what I think this team needs the most right now. This team won 7 games this year. How or why, I don't even know. And they won games with Brock Osweiler out there at times. It's like this team just needs some leadership, and I think whoever has this job needs to almost heal that locker room, unite the team, and just be a leader of men. And what are your thoughts on some of the guys they've sort of been talking to and the older guys who are sort of out of the picture now versus some of the younger guys that they are talking to?
Well, you look at Fedio, look at Munchak, some of the older guys, and I mean, the Dolphins are rebuilding. Kind of talked about that, Stephen Ross, during the press conference. He didn't necessarily say the word tanking or rebuilding, but he that's what he kind of hinted at. He said he's getting tired of the team finishing 6-10, 7-9, 8-8, had 1-10 and 6 season in 10 years. But for the most part, it's been anywhere between 6-10 to 8-8 the last decade. Yeah. And he's tired of that. So if you have to go win 3-4 games a year just to have maintain successful program and an organization on the field, then he's willing to do that. And that's what it seems like they're going to do, and just tear down this team. Of course, they got a lot of young players, but they also have a lot of veterans there that have large contracts, and I expect them to get rid of a lot of them. And you got an older coach in their late 50s, early 60s. You might not necessarily want to go through that, at least for a couple of years. So it makes more sense from that standpoint to go after somebody that's younger. And because this might take, the way I see it, it's going to take probably 3 or 4 years to try to get this thing turned around.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it'll take that long, but it is more, I mean, this is going to be a process. And obviously, I think some of these guys who are older are going to be let go. And they're just going to move on from that because, you know, you can go 7-9 with these guys, or you can go 7-9 and worse without them, honestly. So it's like, why have those guys on the field sort of hindering the growth of some younger players who might be here when you are good? And it sort of stunts their growth. So I'm with you on that. Out of the younger candidates, you know, from the reports, and we don't really know, obviously, it seems like Chris Richard from the Cowboys and Brian Flores from New England seem to be the guys who might have a leg up on the rest of the pool. Those guys are pretty much unknowns. Let's be honest, they're unknowns. Nobody really knows much about them. We've all done some research on them, obviously, since this whole thing started. But for the most part, they're unknowns. Is anyone that they've met with sort of pique your interest any? Saying, I kind of like what he's saying, or I kind of like him a little.
Probably Chris Rashad, except because he's had a lot of different hats with Seattle, obviously, when he was there with Pete Carroll and was their former defensive coordinator. And they're a top five defense 2 out of the 3 years he was the coordinator. The year he wasn't, he ended up getting let go by Seattle, which I think was a surprise to a lot of people.
And he got a raw deal there.
Yeah. He laid on his feet in Dallas. And Rod Marinelli, the defense coordinator there, is just raved about him. A lot of people, Jerry Jones, obviously. And a lot of people credit him for this, a lot of success of the Dallas Cowboys defense this year in particular. So, yeah, I mean, Flores is kind of a little bit of an unknown. He is kind of the de facto defensive coordinator without having the official title, but yep. He kind of is. But, yeah, I think if I had to pick between those two, he probably would be the guy, just because he's worn a lot of different hats. Both guys have, but I just kind of more of a fan of kind of Rashad. Let's see what he's been able to do during his tenure, doing the Seahawks, and definitely now with the Cowboys.
Absolutely, and I think he did kind of get a raw deal there with Seattle. I think the year where they weren't in the top five, they finished like 15th, and they had a lot of guys hurt on that side of the ball. So I'm not sure why they really let him go. That's kind of an interesting thing. With Flores, he did start off as a scout, and that kind of it shows that he has worked his way up, you know, pretty much the long way, the hard way, going from scout to an assistant to a position coach and all that stuff. So, I mean, either one of those guys, look, like I said, I don't think any of us really know a lot about him. So it's sort of we're going to find out maybe as we go here, because I think odds are one of those two will get the job unless someone else here comes from the outside, which leads me to my next question about Rizzi. Obviously, he will get an interview here soon, probably this week from all reports. And I had on Safeed Dean last week from the Sun Sentinel. We went back and forth a little on this. Look, I like Rizzi as much as the next guy, but I just find it hard to believe that if you're Chris Greer making your first big move here, that if you're going to promote someone from within who's been here for so long. And I know a lot of guys who are on the team now or who were on the team in the past are sort of saying, we love Rizzi, you know, and stuff like that, which is great. But, you know, I can't let those guys make this call for me. So what they say, it matters somewhat. But what's your thoughts on Rizzi, and should he be given a chance here to realistically be the next head coach?
I love Darren Rizzi. I think he's somebody – I think I've said it many, many times. He was the best coach that they had on the roster like, for years.
And we're absolutely. Not even talking this. It's not even close.
Adam Gase, Mike Burke, whoever was in there, even during the Joe Philbin years, still the best coach position-wise, and he's consistently proved that. One thing I give him, like, I think a lot of people should start to look at special teams coordinators, especially the veterans as head coaches, because they work with a lot of different type of players, and they know a lot of the strengths and weaknesses of those players. And so I think that definitely does benefit them. I would definitely talk to Rizzi, simply because he already knows he has a pulse on a lot of the players on the roster. Maybe he has some ideas of what could work. Maybe working with the Dolphins recently, and I definitely think it would benefit to talk to him. Now, would I hire him? I think that's a bit of a question, simply because he's been there, and you may want to change, and you might want something new there. But I definitely think he should at least have the opportunity to try to sell what he can bring to the Dolphins organization in their new in the new head coaching role. But yeah, he'd definitely be given that opportunity.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I have no problem with him having an interview. I just don't know if you can hire him. And I, like I said, I think this next hire, it's less about if he's an offensive coach, if he's a coordinator on this side of the ball or this or that. It just needs to be someone with leadership and needs to be a leader. And I think that's the big deal here. And hopefully they can get someone with some leadership skills, because I think that's what this team needs. It needs a vision. It needs a new voice. And it needs someone who can, because I think they got some talent on defense to where that side of the ball of a rebuild, even if they were to trade away someone like Rashad Jones, it won't take forever. I think they can fix that side of the ball pretty quick with some of the pieces they got. I like what they got in the secondary to start with. They got some young linebackers. I think they can fix that side of the ball somewhat quickly, maybe, you know, one off season or maybe two off seasons. The offense is a mess from top to bottom. Aside from Laremy Tunsil, honestly, nobody's really safe. That side of the ball is a mess. I think that's where the real work needs to be done here, and that will take more than one offseason for sure.
I think it's a couple of things here. One, it depends on defensive side of the ball. What type of scheme do you want to run? Do you want to run a 3-4 instead of a 4-3? If you run a 3-4, obviously you're going to have to change some parts there. They do have some players that go run a 3-4 defense, but they'll definitely have to add some parts there. It's more of a learning curve because, of course, you were running a 4-3 scheme already. So, yeah, I think it depends on that. Also depends on, like you said, who they're going to keep veteran-wise. And also, you look at Xavien Howard. I mean, yeah, he's one of your younger pieces on the team, but he's coming in the last year of his contract, and that's going to be an interesting situation in itself because with the Dolphins rebuild, what do you do with him? You may not decide to do trades. You might not say, well, you know what, we're going to just put him on the market, but if somebody gives you a phone call and gives you a good offer, do you flirt with possibly trading them? They have some issues there. Obviously, you hit on the offensive side of the ball. Yeah, they don't really have a lot to work with.
Other than
Laramie Tunsil there. That's pretty much
I like guys like Wilson. I like guys like Grant. But and those guys are nice players, don't get me wrong. And they have a spot.
I like Kenyon Drake, too. He's also coming up to the last year.
When you talk about guys you can build around. On the opposite side of the ball, Xavien Howard, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Jones, if you want to hold on to him, he still plays at a high level. You got guys you can build around. Even the linebackers sort of came on late in the year. Maybe they're not guys you can, you know, you got something happening there on that side of the ball where it might not happen overnight, but there's a jumping off point at least where you can have something built. On offense, outside of Laramie Tunsil, I mean, really, what do you got? I mean, the rest of the offensive line, if it's there next year or not, who cares, honestly? Honestly, it's true. And then when you talk about Drake, yes, he's fine. But, I mean, there's not much there. There's really not much there. And all the wide receivers are nice, but there's nobody who's a true number one or someone who's going to say.
Exactly.
So the offense is the big issue, and that's got to be rebuilt from the ground up. It sort of leads to my next question, actually, about the quarterbacks who will be coming out soon. Now, I'm not for this thing where you got to tank for a year or two to get in the spot to take a guy who's going to be in the draft in 2021 or 2020. To me, that's nonsense. My question to you is, though, let's talk about this year's draft with Haskins. What are your thoughts on someone like Haskins? I know it's early. And do you see him as a guy where Miami should maybe, you know, mortgage the farm, move up and try and get him? Is he one of those types of guys, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think he could field call. I think he could ask around and see what it would take to possibly go up to get him. Because you look at the first part of the draft, I mean, a lot of those teams don't need quarterback help. A lot of those teams, they don't necessarily need. You look at Arizona, they believe they got Josh Rosen there. They end up having Cliff Kingsbury, which is a whole other conversation. But
I don't know how that happens.
They end up hiring him, so I guess they got to have Kingsbury work with Rosen. The Raiders, it's a situation there. I think the way Derek Carr played for the most part at the end of the year, I think they'll stick with him at least for now.
Yep.
And then you look at teams like the Jets. You got the Bills there. I definitely think that you got a lot of teams that aren't looking for quarterback help. So it might be an opportunity to trade with one of those teams and get up there and possibly draft them. So I definitely think you'd be better served to do it now this year as opposed to
trying to
tank for Tua.
He's a good quarterback. Don't get me wrong. He's a great quarterback.
Yeah, he is. Despite last night, that blunder. But, yeah, I definitely think he's a very good quarterback, great prospect. But I'm not in the business of really trying to take for one player because you never know what they're going to do once they get to the NFL.
Yeah.
You never do. So I think and next year is going to be like a bidding war to just try to get up and get them there at the number one spot. So I think you're better served to either stay where you're at, maybe take a Daniel Jones possibly, or if you're falling in love with Haskins, then go up and get him. If that's the guy you really believe in, then do what it takes to go up and get that quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel the same way because here's the thing with that game between Alabama and Clemson. Everyone loves a kid from Clemson, but he ain't coming out to 2021. So you cannot put a franchise on hold for 3 years hoping that you might get the number one pick. And that you cannot. No team can do that. They would go. I mean, that's impossible. Now, when it comes to the kid from Alabama, there's reports he might stay all 4 years. There's reports he might leave after junior. Let's assume he leaves that when he can. First chance he can, and he's in the draft in 2020. Let's go under that assumption. Look, he's a great player. I'm not knocking a player, but I think the praise heaped on him. Here's what I've seen. In big games, he comes up short a little, and I think because all season, they're up by so many points in some of these games, Alabama, and they just run roughshod over everybody. He's never put in a tough spot and really challenged all that much. And when he is put in a tough spot, whether it be the SEC title game versus Georgia, I know he got hurt and he came out, but even when he was in there, He didn't look sharp, and he was just, you know, he was good. He wasn't like this all-world player. And then against Clemson, you know, he didn't look great. I mean, he really didn't. So when he's in big spots, yes, he's still young, and I think he'll be fine. But it's like, I don't see how you want to tank for a guy who, to me, there's still some red flags on, and I want to see him perform big in a big spot. And I don't know, the last few times he's been in a big spot, he really hasn't come up big. And it's like, a lot of his games, he plays great when they're up by 5 touchdowns at the half against Ole Miss. Great. I mean, you're not going to get that in the pros. I mean, it's easy to play when you're that far ahead.
Yeah, he's been a front runner. That's just kind of what the
not his fault.
Down to. No, it's not. You know, team around is really good, and we don't know what would have happened had he stayed in there against Georgia. Who knows? Georgia might have not winning, and we would have had a completely different conversation there about who went in the SEC. But yeah, I definitely think that. I definitely think that he has some merit to it. I want to see him one more season just to get a gauge on him. He's going to be taken high. It's just a matter of how well can he perform against the NFL defenses. We've seen the best defenses that he played, Georgia, and then it's Clemson on Monday night. He definitely struggled, especially to read pressures and figure out what the coverages are. And a lot of that's going to be what he goes up against in the NFL. So definitely still a lot of questions out on him.
Yeah, and that's why if someone like Haskins, and I look, I'm not a scout. I don't know what these guys are looking for exactly. But if you fall in love with someone like Haskins and you have the opportunity this year to move up, if you think he's the guy, go get him. If they got a part with 2 number ones, a number 2 and a 3 and some other, whatever, just do it. Because I think when you get a chance to take a guy that you love, you can't worry about next year's draft or the draft after that or the draft. I mean, there's always going to be a next guy in a draft. And if you fall in love with this guy, you think he's the guy, I would just make the move to get it. And another name I would keep an eye on. I said this yesterday or some night on this podcast. I don't know. If Nick Foles keeps winning with Philadelphia, there is no chance Wentz will be back next year. If he goes on a run here again, they're going to have to move Wentz. And if I'm Miami, I pick up the phone and I don't hang up until you have a deal with the Philadelphia Eagles. Because Nick Foles just wins games late in the year, big games on the road, too. It's like, how are they going to move on from him?
If they beat the Saints, which I don't think they're going to.
I don't think
but
they will either, but if they do,
then, I think you can start to have that conversation. I still think Carson Wentz is going to be part of their future. But if they win this week, then, I think you have this legit conversation to be had. I don't know. The problem with Nick Foles is, I think he fits well with Philadelphia. I don't know if he fits well anywhere else. I think Wentz does. I think Wentz is an all-world MVP type player, especially so 2017 before he got hurt. I thought he was the MVP of the league. And then he ended up having some injury issues there. This year was kind of a bit of a wash coming off that major injury. Just say like he could never get healthy. Come back and have a full offseason. Who knows how good he might be. So, exactly. I definitely think you can make that call and just see what's out there for him and see if he can make that trade. Yeah, why not? A guy's still really young and still in his 20s, and it's hard to pick up guys like that on a regular basis.
And I don't know what they would do, Philly. If they win this week, Foles, and, you know, if they go on a run here again, I don't know what they do, because obviously Wentz overall is a much better player, like you said. But how can you let a guy go Foles who won you a Super Bowl and now is making a run at his second one? And if they win this week against the Saints, I know they can beat either the Rams or the Cowboys. Now, will they? I don't know. But I know they can. I think this is the hardest game for them. And if they get past this one, watch out, because I think they could be back in the Super Bowl again.
Yeah, it's definitely legit. All right, they're going somewhere that nobody has – they're trying to do something that nobody's really done. Beat Sean Payton and Drew Brees in a Super Bowl and in the playoffs. They're 5-0 in the playoffs there at their stadium. I still don't think they're going to get it.
I don't think they're going to either, but you never know.
You never know. That's the whole thing. That's the whole beauty about the playoffs. You just don't know. They barely survived last week. It took a Cody Parkey miss just for them to advance, but – playoffs are a crazy time, so we'll have to wait and see.
Yep, and we've seen this for years with the Patriots. Some teams are just blessed. They get every bounce, they get every break, and it's starting to look like Philadelphia now for the second year in a row is getting every bounce, every break. And sometimes I'd rather be lucky than good, because it just does. I'd rather be a little bit of lucky than good, because it really does help. Antoine, thanks so much for a few moments of your time tonight. Everyone, be sure to read the work of Antoine Staley at DolphinsWire.USAToday.com. And, of course, follow him on Twitter at Antoine Staley. Antoine, have a good one, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
All right, it sounds good.
Have a good one.
DolphinsTalk.com is your one website for all things Miami Dolphins. With the award-winning DolphinsTalk.com podcast, in-depth video breakdowns and analysis, as well as daily articles all year round, DolphinsTalk.com is the place to go for all of your Miami Dolphins needs. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DolphinsTalk and to visit our website, DolphinsTalk.com, each and every day.
Again, I'd like to thank Antoine Staley for joining us here on the podcast. Now, tomorrow's show will be done by Stephen Masso, and then we'll probably have a show by Tom Winnersey after that later in the week. I'm working on a couple interviews, so I might sprinkle them into the podcast as well later this week. I'm working on a few guests to sit down and chat with about the Miami Dolphins. Hopefully, we start hearing some more news on the coaching search. Like I said, though, we might not know until after the weekend, it sounds like. I would expect Rizzi to be interviewed at some point this week, so we'll probably know about that. But when it comes to the rest, when it comes to Flores and Richard, we might not know till Monday what's going on there. And we'll have to see if their teams are still in the playoffs or not. Who knows? But we'll have podcasts here the rest of the week. Like I said, tomorrow's show will be done by Stephen Masso. So check that out. Be sure to go to the website, DolphinsTalk.com. We got a ton of new articles up. If you want to send me an email, I can be reached at DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter at DolphinsTalk, at Dolphins Talk. Everyone have a great rest of your Wednesday, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.